That's one way to start off this podcast.
That's the only way.
The
to
only
start
way.
This
welcome
one.
To the War on Pop Culture podcast. Presented by
Beer. Rob and
are we going to talk about our sponsors?
And beer. Rob and beer.
Presented by Rob and Beer.
Rob and Beer.
I like it. I like it. Okay.
Me and Justin aren't presenting anything.
There's also Justin and Mike here with us, and
hi.
This is the three amigos, the trio of War on Pop Culture podcasting.
Trio.
Justin, shout him out.
Oh yeah, just so a new shout out. I want to give a shout out to coworker Johnny C. We went on a trip together last week to sunny Oklahoma and introduced him to the podcast. He says he's a fan. So
Johnny C,
welcome.
Write us in. Give us something to talk about next episode if you're a big fan.
Johnny C, you better.
Mike, do you have a shout out?
I'm gonna shout out Marty Rocco, because I'm going to make Marty start listening to this. He doesn't listen to it yet.
You're gonna force
I'm going
him?
To force Marty to listen
first
to it.
First time for everything. There we
well,
go.
Now
he has to. He's
has
mentioned.
To, yeah. He was mentioned. There's a slight. And I'm going to shout it out to Alfredo.
He's not going to listen.
Because he's really tall and he lives here.
And
as well.
He pays the rent. Half the rent to the place that we record the podcast.
Studio is being paid by Alfredo. He's one of our sponsors, actually.
Thanks. Rob, thanks, Alfredo. Beer, Alfredo.
Right. Thank you, Alfredo. All right, so let's just go right into this entertainment news. This just in.
Justin,
what do you got for us?
Send main news. So, I know there are a lot of Veep fans. You guys watch Veep, right?
I do watch Veep.
Not watched the last season, but yes, I like the show.
So, Peter McNichol, who was nominated for an Emmy last week, just got his Emmy rescinded. His nom rescinded.
Wow,
because
why?
Because he was in, so you're supposed to be in less than 50% of the episodes, and he was in exactly 50% of that. He was in 5 of 10. So, I guess the rules, I don't know how, you know, you overlook that when you give him the nomination to begin with.
Wait,
but
this guy? Well, no one can see the picture. This guy got nominated?
For what? For what? What was the award he got nominated for?
Best Supporting?
Guest Actor.
Oh.
Guest
so to be
actor.
A guest.
He was in too many episodes.
He can't be there, though.
How did they not figure that out before the nomination process?
I don't know. He wasn't that great on Veep. Like, well, he really was one of my least likable characters on
the
show.
That's what the Academy says. overstayed his welcome.
That's interesting.
Okay.
I think that's just a bad blunder on their part to even have him in.
Yeah.
He's better known as the weird, creepy guy in Ghostbusters 2. That's his
Vigo,
name.
He's Vigo!
Vigo!
Do you think he still gets to put, like, Emmy nominated on, like, anything? Or is it, like, Emmy
rescinded?
Asterisks and everything.
I'd still put it on my resume.
It was. He technically was nominated. He just lost before it even happened.
Right. You know? So he bowed out early.
Which is something.
I guess.
It's more Emmy noms than I've ever gotten.
That's true. That's a fact, actually.
It's factually true.
Justin only tells the facts.
Yeah, I'm not a liar. Alright, so the next piece of information. The wrap-up to the Divergent series, which I might have seen one of them.
I heard this, yeah.
They're going to end it, instead of on this on the silver screen, they're going to end it on... Wait, is that the silver screen?
Yeah, it is.
They're going to put it on TV.
Yeah. How crazy is that?
That's so weird.
Isn't that
weird? Did the last movie not make a lot of a lot of money, or... Why would they do that?
It's doing decent. I don't know what the reason for that is. Are they making it a season as the last movie?
You're asking too many questions.
that would be the only thing that kind of makes sense, but
no,
it still
I
doesn't
think
make
it's
sense.
It's a TV movie, if I read correctly. Yeah,
I heard
a television
Peter
movie.
McNichols in 50% of it.
And the spin-off series.
Right, exactly.
Well, I mean, you could just do the spin-off series with the regular movie, too.
Yeah, no, that's a very, very strange course to take for a film franchise series like that.
Didn't the first one make a decent amount of money?
They all make decent amount of money. I haven't seen any of them, but we're not the right audience for
people
it.
People want to see kids kill stuff, you know? That's
I mean,
that's what it comes down to.
I read that today, and I'm just like, this is bizarre. That's what I said to myself. This is bizarre. How bizarre?
How bizarre?
Bumbalaya.
Bumbalaya. And then the last one I have is Lady Gaga and Taylor Kinney broke up.
So, didn't know they were together.
I don't know who Taylor Kinney is.
Me neither. But they're broken up, so...
Miss Gaga, wherever you are.
The fair lady is back on the market. I'll have to shoot her a text.
Justin and Lady Gaga.
Yeah, you know, it might be a thing.
Do we want to discuss the happenings with the other Taylor?
Fine, let's hear it.
The Swift?
Enlighten me, because I'm not even sure what's going on.
So I can't believe I'm telling you guys this for the first time.
I can't believe you know this.
Yeah, how could you hold out on this?
Kanye West made a song called Fashion. And in Fashion, he hints towards the fact that he made Taylor Swift famous, and he can make her famous again, pretty much, because he wants to fuck her, and she's probably down with it. Now, I don't know if you remember a few months ago, but Taylor Swift on an award show kind of hinted towards the fact that she disapproved of the lyrics and that no one made her famous. She made herself famous. She's an independent woman, yada, yada, yada. But then on Sunday, in a change of events, Kim Kardashian posted a recording she has of Kanye on the phone with Taylor Swift. And he's giving her the lyrics, and she's okay, saying, that's really good, this is actually kind of like a compliment. I'm honored that you're putting me into this song. And she's on the phone, and it kind of makes Taylor Swift seem like a big old phony.
That's so crazy, because you know what that means? That means that she planned that. Like, Kim Kardashian planned that
months ago. She is Cersei. She's all over this.
Wildfire all over this.
Yeah, she planned
I did also kind of read that she might be in trouble for that, though, Kardashian.
I hear that's actually illegal. What state you're in.
Right, depending on the state you're in. So that could...
I know in New Jersey, only one person in the room needs to know they're being recorded.
Oh. That's interesting.
And that's a creepy thing for somebody to know. But
maybe somebody's recording us right now.
That would be Mike. Or Alfredo.
That's you!
It's you, Rob!
It's you, Rob! It's the podcast!
It didn't work! It didn't work at all!
He's like, shit, they're on to me.
that's the celeb gossip I have.
Huh. Yeah. That's pretty good. Okay. That's pretty good.
I can't believe you didn't hear about that.
That's more nuanced than I would have expected from this.
I don't read any of that stuff, honestly.
Yeah.
Okay, no, Pokemon Go. We got to talk about that a little bit.
Justin just caught 3 Pokemon in this room.
I
don't even understand what the hell this thing is.
Oh, you're not.
Wait, you haven't gone? You haven't.
There's
Pokemon
no way I'm going to ever do this. But I did read about...
Yeah.
I read about this a year ago, and I'm like, this is going to be a fascinating
game.
Yeah. I'm like, how is this going to work? And number two, this is going to be amazing. Because I'm not going to lie, I put my time into Pokemon back in the day.
Oh.
I don't need to do this now. I played the card game. I watched the show. I watched the movies. Like, I don't need to put stake into this Pokemon game.
Right.
But this is pretty fascinating. I admit that. I just don't understand what do you do after you capture these Pokemon.
Well, I wish I could tell you, but I don't know either. At this point, I caught 3, and they just sit on my phone, and I don't really know what I'm supposed to do with them.
I gotta admit, I'm more into... So this is my first... This is actually my first Pokemon game. So even if it was just like the other ones...
You never played Red and Blue?
It wasn't my type of game. But this one, you kind of walk around. I use my camera. I know you can turn that on and off, but... Like, you know, flicking the balls at stuff and catching them.
Flicking the balls.
Flicking balls. So it's interesting. But, I understand. I don't know what the end game is. You can battle them. I guess I'm more of a collector.
My main reason for not playing this game is because I don't know what the end game is. I won't play any game like The Sims, like Minecraft or anything, where there's no legit end game. I loved when I played video games, I would honestly only kind of play sports games because there was a beginning and an end to every sports game, and I could finish it in less than an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's not like I understand certain games might take like 80 hours to finish, but there's at least an end game. I don't like playing games without an end game, it makes no sense to me. And number two, I just don't have the time, honestly. I don't have the time to
legitimately do it. That's where you're wrong, because Pokemon Go, you don't have to be addicted like everyone else and wander the streets to find Pokemon. For instance, the other week, I was on the beach lounging, and I was just sitting there, nothing else to do. It's like, let me see by chance if there's any Pokemon on the beach. And I opened up the app, and lo and behold, right in front of me was a Magikarp. Caught it. I don't know what the fuck to do with it, but I have it. It's in my phone right
it's
now.
It's magical. Yeah.
It's magical.
It's one of those things that I play with. I'm like, I'm sitting around waiting for something, like, or I'm like walking from A to B, and I'm just like, oh, I'll whip up my phone and see what Pokemon are around. But
again, I think it's a waste of time if there's no end game.
Well, you know what it is doing, and I read a study, it's making people exercise a lot more. Like, the amount of, if you're an avid Pokemon Go player, like, the amount of steps, alright, because,
it's getting kids outside of the
house. And moving around, you're not just sitting around playing a video game on a chair, you're moving around.
Of course.
Actively doing things.
It is also kind of a social thing. Like,
people hunt together.
Yeah, I was...
I don't know why. The way you said that was just so weird.
I know it was.
No, but I mean, like, well, yeah, no, I've heard of couples, and I even saw a couple. I was walking, when I was on travel last week, I was walking from a restaurant to the hotel, and there was a car, like, creepily slowing, like, driving next to us. And I looked at, and the there was a girl on the passenger seat, she had two phones, she was both on Pokemon Go. And I was playing, because I was walking, and I showed them, and we had, like, a little moment. And I was just like, oh,
group
that's
hug.
Cool. Yeah.
Group hug.
I just don't want it to start substitute, like, taking the place of other things I like. Like, instead of asking me to go out to a bar or something, if you want to go, like, Pokemon Go hunting, that's not going to do anything.
A lot cheaper, though.
It's a lot cheaper. It kills your data, though. Doesn't it drain data?
In the end, it's not.
Of course, I mean, I've been reading up on the negative aspect where they set up lures and rob kids and everything like that.
I saw that, and it was hilarious.
Or the kid driving with it and crashing into a cop car.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
That's hilarious.
That's what about the dead body?
I didn't see this.
That's a bonus, though. We're solving crimes.
You found a haunting or a ghastly. You found exactly. the ghost afterwards. Yeah.
No, I understand the benefits of it, and it's good, and there's always going to be idiots that play every game and stuff like that. No, it's legit. I get it. But I'm never going to play
I guarantee you, I will never play the game.
Okay. Anything else about Pokemon Go?
No.
Okay.
Pokemon Go.
Do we have any other entertainment news?
Didn't you have...
Today is Robin Williams' birthday! I mean, I don't know why we're celebrating Raise the Roof. Well, Mike forgot that Robin Williams passed away.
Yes, I consistently forget he's dead.
It's a shame.
It's a shame that he's passed.
In honor of Robin Williams, we're going to take a drink. Oh, no, you guys finished your drink already, too.
Right. Drink ourselves to death.
And we're going to say...
Too soon, Noah. And when did he even die at this point?
Last year.
It was last year?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And we're
going to
say, like, just like, you know, what are your favorite roles or movies that he was in? Just off the top of your head. Just off the top of your head. Nothing too serious. I'll go first. I'll let you guys talk. I loved him, obviously, in Good Will Hunter. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. I loved him at The Voice of Aladdin. I loved him in Hook as Peter Pan. And, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of like him in that bad guy role in Insomnia and One Hour Photo. I thought that was really...
I knew you were gonna say that. You like Insomnia?
I know, I like
I'm going to war on Insomnia.
You don't like Insomnia?
I like overrated.
Insomnia is... It's not even rated, though.
Yeah,
it's not overrated at all. It's not even known.
Whatever the rating is, it's too much.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm surprised we all actually have seen Insomnia.
I've seen Insomnia, I think three times. Maybe that's why
that's your problem.
I put myself through this over and over three times.
That's your problem.
I still hate this. I still hate it.
So
what about you guys? Anything else other than what I've named or an add-on to that?
You want to go first?
I gotta admit, I'm not the biggest Robin Williams fan. I'm not that I dislike him, but I just, like that over the top, like, blah, sometimes it's too much for me. But I guess my favorite of his, not that I dislike all of his stuff. Aladdin is a good point. I totally forgot that he did that. But I think my favorite is probably Mrs. Doubtfire, because that was...
Yeah, I forgot about Doubtfire, too.
Mrs. Doubtfire, that was hilarious.
I personally think that's overrated.
Well, we're off.
At least it's at least rated.
It's not evil enough.
At least it's...
You didn't kill enough people in that movie.
And Mike?
I'm going to go with the obvious of, like, Jumanji. He's great in Jumanji. I like Mrs. Doubtfire. I would say my favorite is Hook.
Hook is so good, man.
And I love how the critics destroyed Hook and how it was considered a flop and considered one of Spielberg's worst movies when I consider it one of my
favorite movies. I love the movie.
But also at the same time, I don't know if you guys have seen it, like, his two of his more critically acclaimed movies. I've never seen Awakenings. I've never seen Dead Poets Society. Those are, and I, actually three. And I've never seen Good Morning Vietnam. Those are all supposed to be great movies. But actually, now I'm saying it. My top, besides Hook, second. Top. So my not top. My second is Birdcage. I love Birdcage.
That was a good movie.
Birdcage is great.
About Birdcage.
Birdcage is good.
Jeez, man.
Obviously, Good Will Hunting, as Rob said before, which I saw recently for the first time and cried. I forgot he was dead.
He cried for the first time. That's why I broke you.
I've never cried before. But that's, so that's that. Maybe we'll have a Robin Williams episode one of these days. Maybe on his next birthday.
Bracket.
And you year from now? Again that he's dead.
A year from now. Mark it on the calendar.
Future planning. I like this.
All right, let's get into what have we been watching, folks? Anything good, anything bad?
Do we want to start with what we've all seen, the new show on HBO?
We might as well.
Do we want to start with the night of?
We might as well. The night of HBO's new limited series. I'm not even sure how many episodes it's supposed to be.
Nine?
Really?
Telling you it's nine.
I thought it was nine.
No, it's nine.
Is it nine?
Yeah, it's nine.
The way you said that, I'm like, you're lying.
It's a convincing way. It's nine.
Yeah, it's nine.
You're looking it up right now. You can't believe me.
I don't trust you at all. So what do you guys think? Did we all watch the two episodes?
Yeah.
Yes.
And what do we think? First impressions? What do you guys think about it?
Loved the first episode. I feel so horrible for this poor guy, Nas. Nas?
I don't feel
Roz, no,
Roz,
I Roz, not Roz, Illmatic.
Yeah.
No, dude, the first episode, how do you not feel bad for this kid?
I don't know, because there's that blackout period. He might have done it.
He could have.
But did he?
I can't feel bad for him yet.
Was it the guy outside the apartment that gave him the lockdown? Was it the guy on the motorcycle who pulled up right next to him?
I think.
Was it the guy in the gas station with the hearse? Who knows?
I think it's easily assumed. It's easily assumed that we don't know. We don't even know a quarter of the story yet.
Probably.
I think we can assume that we probably haven't even seen the killer yet, type of thing. But I'm just saying, because of that blackout period, I can't rule him out yet, and I can't feel bad for him yet.
I'm telling you, the girl Elliot Smith herself, and she killed herself. She just stabbed herself a bunch of times.
That's really brutally done.
Why is that one guy lying about having been there with his friend? Remember? That's why I think it was him. Because he was like, oh yeah, it was just me.
I do really like...
They were both doing drugs and have drugs on them, so maybe he just didn't want to bring his friend into it. I don't know.
No, remember
they were going to a party. They were talking about the amount of drugs that were going to be at the party.
Maybe.
I do really like that one. Yeah, like you said, the hearse driver. He's like, you're gonna be next or something like that. Like that was freaky.
My favorite part of the pilot episode, and it was like, you know, the suspense is building. You're waiting for them to charge this guy and figure out that he was there. He's in the police office for like 30 minutes. But when they're describing the murder weapon as they're pulling the knife out of his jacket,
when she's patting him down, I held my breath that entire scene. I'm just like, how? I'm like,
almost
oh my
passed
God.
Out.
That was cool. And then she just holds it like. What?
Are you talking about this?
Like this?
And then it was just like, I do feel bad for the fact that if he is innocent, if he was just making one dumb decision after another.
Dude,
but
I understand his shoes.
I understand everything.
I do not.
I understand him being in that situation, never, you know, whatever, making mistake, not thinking clearly. But it was just like, it was hard to watch that. I'm just saying, it's hard to watch, and you're just making more damning evidence against you.
Oh,
Justin
totally
does not have any sympathy for.
No, I have sympathy, but here's my thing: as soon as she stabbed herself in the hand.
I'd be out. I'm done. I don't care how good the sex is.
That is too much. Yeah, exactly. And I think he said he's a virgin, so like...
No, second girl I ever had sex with.
And, you know, I don't know.
She was obviously crazy.
But that was enough. I would have been like, no, we're not playing with knives. Like, that's not my thing. That might be your thing. Yeah, that's cool. I don't get down like that. That's why I would have been like, I'm out.
But I love the pilot. I mean, I understand the second episode is really just, you know, starting to bridge the gap and, you know, trying to escalate. I felt, obviously, it wasn't as suspenseful and exciting.
It definitely wasn't as suspenseful.
But it was necessary, and it really gives you more of a backstory into each one of the characters.
How do we feel about Detective Box and Stone, John Turturro's character? Do we trust either of them?
I trust both of them.
Yeah.
I think they're both very good intentions.
I think we're supposed to.
Yeah. You're not supposed to trust the detective, obviously.
I honestly don't trust Stone.
No, I do. You want to know why? Because when they show, like, his family life and how he's a nice family man, they if he was living alone and like a derelict and didn't have anyone in his life, you'd be like, oh no, this guy's a shady character. But I think they show that for a reason, to get the audience to gain, okay, gain his trust.
Or to throw you off.
Yeah. Maybe he did it. And then they took the case.
It was him.
I solved it.
I'm saying he might just see this more as an opportunity than seeing him as completely innocent.
He does 100%.
He does.
He does.
Right.
But I think he's going to, if he thinks the guy is innocent, he's going to try his hardest to defend him.
Right, yeah. Of course. Yeah. No, he seems like a good lawyer, like you said, and Detective Box seems like a good detective. He's not going to be friends with a murderer, but he's going to try his best. And he did. You did see that he's just, something doesn't add up with this kid.
Exactly. Yeah.
So right. He gave him that time, but he's really. But it is damning evidence against him. So he's just like, course. I got to prosecute you, and now you're in this what Rikers Island or something like that.
Oh
and,
yeah.
Dude, I'm excited to see what this does to the kid now.
Oh, him being in that horrible prison?
Oh, yeah. It's going to mess him up. Yeah.
It's going to build his character.
It's going to make him the killer that they thought he was.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm hooked.
What I'm really interested about is, because I'm not sure exactly what kind of show this is. It seems very confident in what he's trying to do, but I'm not sure. I'm not expecting things to happen because I don't know what kind of show it is. I'm like, are they really trying to give us these MacGuffins and like throw us for a loop? Are they just telling a straight up investigation murder story? Well, are they like really? Like, I don't really know what to expect, which is fun.
Do you remember the ads for the show? I didn't know what the show was about until it premiered 2 weeks ago, and I started watching it. I had no idea what the item was about.
You're right. I read into it a little bit.
They're keeping everyone pretty much in the dark. And I like that. I'm going to tune in on Sunday because of it. So
what I was
saying, no, I'm not. I'm going to be a panorama. Damn it!
Shucks.
Darn. Yeah.
What I was telling Mike is that if it's just like one big Law and Order episode, I'm going to be pissed because that's like 10 hours. And if it's just like, I hope it's better than that.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. And one thing I did have to mention: the intro, is that not like a combination of True Detective and like The Leftovers? Like, I feel like they just took those intros and combined them.
It seems like you guys. That's a really good way to describe it. Yeah,
it's something different.
That is a good way to describe it.
The Leftovers in Texas. Yeah.
The Leftovers shows.
The true Leftovers.
This isn't going to be a thing anymore.
Did either of you watch Vice Principals?
No, I was going to, but I didn't watch it.
It premiered on Sunday.
Oh, I did not.
It's classic Danny McBride. It's exactly what you expect of him at this point. Yeah. It was funny. Bill Murray has a nice cameo in it. Yeah, He's funny in it. I forget the other actor's name. I think it's going to be better than the pilot. The pilot didn't really wow me. But the pilot kind of like...
Comedy pilots are tough. They're tough.
It is tough.
It's really, really tough. Difficult. It's comedies usually find their way, even like second season. Like sometimes it just takes the whole first season to set up a pilot, a premise.
I personally really like Danny McBride. So I even laughed. I was watching with my girlfriend. I don't really think she found it as funny. I'm in. I think it's going to be better than the pilot. I give it 6 gumps.
We'll need to find a rating system for TV shows.
Gumps.
6 Breaking Bad.
No, I don't know about that. Maybe like Breaking Bad season 1.
I knew it was premiering this past weekend, but I said I can't watch. I'm still catching up with a lot of shows. You gotta draw the line after a while. And no, I'm not gonna watch it.
Well, I'll let you know if it's worth watching, because I'm going
to
watch it.
You, like, refuse to watch it? Or are you just, like, you don't want to occupy your time right now?
You're right. I'm not going to refuse to watch it, but it's,
as
like,
right now,
it won't even be, like, a top 10 of things I want to watch soon. Because I just started watching the second season of Mr. Robot.
Oh. How is that?
So good. It's going in such a crazy new direction, which I absolutely love. It's so good. I was thinking about this before, and I think, like, It's easily top 3 of my favorite shows right now. It might be over Game of Thrones, honestly. Like, it's just that much. I love that show that much. I don't know. I was going between that and The Americans.
I knew it.
Those are my 3 favorite shows. And then Fargo is like a close like tie for like 3rd or something like that. But like, just Mr. Robot is just so exciting. It's so new and it's so innovative and it's so exciting. Like, just what I can't describe it. I watch the show and right before it comes on, I'm like, I'm at the edge of my seat already. I'm like, this is going to be amazing. The first scene happens, and then I'm just, like, so amped up. So, So, Mr. Robot, I highly recommend it to you guys. Highly, highly recommend it to you guys. First season, I think, was perfect. I think it was more perfect than the Homeland first season. And then I just hope second season is just as good.
Everyone talks to me about Homeland Season 1 like it's the Holy Grail. Like, they'll bring up, like, it's good, but it's
there's
Homeland
only
Season 1.
There's only one? No, seriously, that I consider it the standard to any first season of any show or any season possible. That's if it's as good as Homeland's first season, it's something. Because Homeland first season is, I think, the closest to perfection of any season I've ever seen. Hmm. The only one thing that went wrong, and the only way it could be corrected, is if it wasn't a series, if it was a limited series, then it could have actually ended correctly.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can say. But yeah, Mr. Robot, highly recommend. And Preacher, I've been keeping up with. Not gonna lie,
I never watched
it. Got so much better.
Oh yeah,
so much better.
I keep
so
hearing better things about Preacher. Yeah. I might have to.
My one buddy was just like, How far are you in? I'm like, only two episodes, I'm probably going to stop. He's like, dude, just keep watching. So I watch the next three episodes, and I'm hooked. I can't wait to watch them.
Someone you trust, I guess?
Sometimes. it's hit or miss, but I'm just like, if someone... Because I don't know that many people that watch it, honestly. Right. But it is really good, and it's fascinating about what's happening. And I think the thing I love about it the most is the style. It's that comic... It reminds me of Sin City a lot, the style that it's shot in.
Oh, I like Sin City.
You're right, because it's very comic booky, and just the cinematography and the way things are shot are just really cool. You can't really do that with a show like The Night Of, you know, because that's a little bit more grainy and, like, realistic and stuff like that. This is very cartoonish, but at the same time has some really, you know, big themes. I don't know. I find it fascinating. So those are kind of the shows I'm in right now, so I can't really... take anything else and Justin,
I don't have anything else new.
That's cool.
I thought I would have more time on my trip, but I ended up not. So.
Sure.
And I had a lot of movies to watch for a reason
our
we'll
next
get to pretty soon.
Should we do it right now?
Well, wait, real quick. Green Room, Seven Gums. I'll just round them off real quick. I saw the movie Green Room. Patrick Stewart. He's a neo-Nazi. The band gets
that looked good.
I don't even know what Green Room is. What the hell is this?
Watch a trailer. It's about this band. They get a gig at this neo-Nazi punk show. Things go bad. Patrick Stewart shows up. He's the villain. He captures them, and they have to break out of the green room. It was all right. The ending is a little bit too far-fetched for me to really get behind. Like, for things to go as horrible as they did the entire movie, and at the end, just like, oh, we're out. Like, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But I'll give it, like, a 6.57. It was okay. Ex Machina, I finally saw, as I told you. Ex Machina, I wish I could redo my list from last year, because I think I might legitimately put that at, like,
Ex
number one.
Ex Machina is so good.
Ex Machina, I will give, like, nine gums. I was blown away by Ex Machina.
I thought I talked about that before, but maybe not. I don't know. I enjoyed it.
Blown away by it. I really, really enjoyed it. Going into it, I had an idea of what the movie was going to be about, and then it was not about that at all. And I like that. It wasn't predictable. The very ending, when, spoiler alert, she leaves his ass in that room. I mean, I know I saw it coming. I knew it was going to happen, but it was awesome.
I love, in Ex Machina, in addition to everything else that's great about it, just how minimalistic it was. Three or four characters, the entire movie, just like... Dialogue was strongly written. The acting was great, but just like the storyline, it's just how it was. I love simple stories like that. It's just everything was contained.
That's true.
And yet it was so science fiction still. It was so science fiction still, and it really dealt with like the morals of these, you know, droids, and like, you know, where's the line drawn between being a living being or being a robot? I thought that was so fascinating, and I love how that addressed it. And was it a book beforehand? Is that what it was? Or?
I think it is based off of
right.
Book. Yeah,
it's like it's really really good. I love those type of movies.
I enjoyed it a lot. I mean, I was sick last week, so I saw a bunch of stuff. I finally caught up on Veep season. I believe it's season 5 of Veep. Hilarious. I know you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I definitely recommend you watch it as soon as possible. And I finally finished Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley Season 3, just sum it up really quick, it is the least funny out of all three, but it's still somehow surprisingly entertaining.
So
it just
good.
Doesn't have the laughs
somehow,
as the other
somehow
two
Jared does. Became the funniest character.
Jared
on
is so funny in Season 3. Yeah.
I want a Jared and Big Head like spin-off. Like them to just
I'd watch that.
I would easily watch that. He just became the best character somehow. I don't know. It was really fun. But But, like, Silicon Valley is so predictable where there has to be ups and downs.
As you said, it's a roller coaster, yeah. Right, there's highs, there's lows, you know how it's gonna...
But it's a show that I wanna keep watching these characters. I wanna keep up with this story. I wanna see what happens next, even though if it might be predictable, don't matter, because they're gonna do some crazy hijinks down along the way, and it's gonna be great. So I'm very excited for that next season.
Wait, going back to Ex Machina real quick, really like the dance scene.
That's great.
What is going on?
Yeah.
You get
when a movie can put in like a dancing like that, it's just awesome. Huh? You know.
Oh, all right. That's cool.
All right. Let's get down to our main segment of this podcast, which we probably should have introduced earlier on, so people could listen to this point.
No. For the true blues fans. For the true blues.
Mike is going to explain to us what we did and what we're about to do for this segment.
Basically, what we're doing for this one is, again, you know, it's the war on pop culture. We took our top favorite films, and we put them in the hands of the other two podcasters. So I took my 10 films, I gave them to Justin, I gave them to Rob, and I let them kind of do what they will with them. The first round, yes, Rob, as Rob gives us the thrust.
I like how you pointed to the opposite.
I know, I pointed to Rob as I said Justin, and I pointed to Justin as I said Rob. Keeping you on your toes.
We need this to be on the video so you can see the
backstage access here.
So, initially, how it works is, out of the top 10, the other two will initially write just right off 6, right off the gate. So, right now, we're going to really get into a main discussion of the remaining 4.
And the main objective is this, is to try to discuss each other's favorite movies and have not yourself, but the other members of this podcast to vote and decide what is
the
mutual best or favorite movie. I wouldn't say best, I would just say, I'm going with favorite.
The favorite.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Alright, so let's get this started. What list do we want to do first? Should we do Vivenzio's list first?
Sure.
Because you have that in your hand?
Ready. No, I have your list.
Oh, let's do your list.
What about your list?
I have...
You
have my list.
I totally forgot whose list I
have. I've got some list here.
So wait, so how are we going to do this? Are we going to do one person at a time or one round at a time?
One person at a time.
Okay. So let's just... All right, do me first.
All right.
Rob. All
right.
We're going to say the 6 that we voted off. Right?
Bob's going to read the whole list.
Right, here, read the whole list.
I'll read the ones I voted off.
But in order that it was selected, do you remember who you selected it first?
We have it.
It's recorded in history. let me open the envelope here. Rob's list is, American Beauty, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Forrest Gump, Good Will Hunting, Hurt Locker, Inception, Mulholland Drive, Shawshank Redemption, Social Network, and Wall-E.
To be fair, we haven't listed them in ranking order. We only listed them in alphabetical order to refrain from our bias of what we think is the better movies.
Okay.
So we're not eliminating based on their ranking. So
out of those 10...
Out of those 10...
Mike voted first.
Okay.
So the first vote was for Hurt Locker. Was the first. That is Mike's vote off. My vote off was Mulholland Drive.
Shocker.
Ben's is...
I just can't wait to have that discussion after this is over. I might want to just skip to that right now.
Ben's second vote was Wall-E.
It's a discussion.
My second vote was Social Network. Ben's third vote was Inception. And my third vote was American Beauty.
So what we have remaining for Rob?
Remaining for Rob is Eternal Sunshine,
ooh,
Forrest Gump,
ooh,
Good Will Hunting,
ooh,
and Stop Shawshank it. Redemption.
Okay. Whew. So now, who picked first out of us? It was me,
you
correct?
Yes, yes.
So now I'm going to just chop one of those off.
Sure, yeah, and you can talk about it.
Wait, so now are we doing one round of this, or you're going to complete me right
complete,
now?
Complete, we're going to complete you.
Oh, wait, thank you, guys. I love it that you guys complete me.
And I'm going to pick a movie which made me remember that Robin Williams was dead. And I really enjoyed it. I saw it for the first time last week. I can't believe I lived as long as I have and not seen this movie up until then. It was an amazing movie, and it's kind of tough for me to do this, but considering the other three remaining, it's the easy chop. So I'm going to have to nix Good Will Hunting, though I really thought it was fantastic.
And what you told me earlier was, like, It immediately made the top 30 the first time you saw it.
In my personal top 30, it's already on there. I'm going to go to Walmart and raid the $5 bin and hope I find it tomorrow.
Definitely
it's,
there.
It's a great movie. Great, great movie.
I had to rewatch that because I had seen it a while ago. And, you know, for this activity, I decided to rewatch it. It was a good movie, but, yeah, if you didn't, I probably would have.
Okay.
Because... It's not what I think because I saw it around the same time I saw Dead Poets Society, so I think I'm crossing those two a little bit, but I'm not that big into that type of movie, so I think it was very well done, very well acted, but, you know, it was just like, all right, it's a movie about math, they're doing that. I mean, I know it's about more than that, but it's just like, that's kind of what this is all about. So, so for mine...
I think I know what he's going to
do. It's tough because... Okay, so... I know what it's not going to be.
I know what you're not going to pick.
There's one... Well, because you've seen my list, yeah. And then there's one
Insider. Insider trading over here.
We called each other before.
Calling the FBI. You got
No, one I haven't seen in a while, and the other I did rewatch... Or no, watch for the first time for this. I'm going to have to go with... Shawshank. I think I'm going to cut Shawshank. Yeah. I mean, it was a really good movie. Again, it's not my type of movie, and like prison movies, that's kind of weird to me. So, but I mean, it is, you know,
it's an amazing movie.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. It's you know, it's tough. The IMDb rated best movie, like fan rated best movie on the website. I love Shawshank. I think it's incredible. It's one of those movies that if it comes on TV, you're watching it. If it comes on, it pops up, I'm hooked for the next 2.5 hours. But at the same time, I 100% agree with you, and I was hoping you were going to pick it, because that would have been my third as well.
Gotcha.
Now, we have two movies left. How are you guys going to like really try to go to war to vote off one movie?
I know we're going to go to war, because I know what he's going to pick, and I know what I'm going to pick.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Your whole rating system is based off this, and you're not going to pick that movie?
I'm not going to pick that movie. I know.
Okay.
I know. Actually, that's really ridiculous.
Yeah. How are you?
That is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. That's your standard, and you're like, but it's not better than this one movie.
I personally like the other one better.
Let's hear it. Let's hear the arguments.
Well, so to be fair, this is the one that I hadn't seen in a long time, Eternal Sunshine, but I would pick...
So we have left this Forrest Gump and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Now... I know you're going to pick Gump. And it's not like... I'm not poo-pooing on Gump. Everyone loves Gump. I honestly haven't met a single person in my entire life that says I dislike Gump.
If you do, immediately walk away from that.
Oh, no. They're an evil person. They're a terrible person. And as Justin pointed out, yes, that is our rating system on this podcast. I rewatched Eternal Sunshine about 4 weeks ago. That's what I did after Governor's Ball when it got rained out that Sunday. Oh. I came back and I watched it.
Depressing.
And I forgot how truly inventive and creative this movie is. Like, it's...
Yeah.
I don't know a single movie that I've ever seen since it that is like this movie. It's its own thing. And there's a lot of heartwarming tales like Forrest Gump, and there's a lot of movies about people doing fantastic things, but the script, everything about Eternal Sunshine is just unique. It's to itself. It's Jim Carrey's probably his best acting performance, you know, maybe aside from Truman Show.
Aside from The Mask, you're right.
And The Mask, and Mr. Popper's Penguins. But everything about it's great, you know. The imagery, Kate Winslet's great. That, I think, is the first time I saw my boy Mark Ruffalo in any movie. He's fantastic in it. I'm picking Sunshine.
Man, it's been a lot of good ones.
I'm picking Sunshine.
But,
I understand that Gump is going to win.
So I'm intrigued how this is going
to
work out.
Well, so you have to be the tiebreaker then, because we...
Is that how it works out?
I can't do that, though.
How? I mean, but how
is that how we do it?
It's
no,
one
but
one.
He's
what would be a better way?
Have any say?
Well, no,
I don't know how I don't know how this is going to get figured out.
Then I guess you're the tiebreaker. Then the tiebreaker goes to Gump.
I mean, right. we'll talk about the list later
but,
no, on.
But plead your case for Gump.
I mean, it's just a classic. It's just all over the place in a good way. I mean, just the story is like great. It's acted well. Yeah, it's It's just, it's a, yeah, it's classic.
It's Gump.
Yeah, it's Forrest Gump.
That's all you have to say, it's Gump. That's all you have to say.
Like you said, like, never heard of, granted, I don't ask everyone I meet, hey, do you like Forrest Gump?
But, oh, no, that's my first question on dates. First dates, like, what are your thoughts on Forrest
Gump? Let's stop wasting time.
Yeah. Do you like Forrest Gump? That's all I need to know, honestly.
Yeah. Rob, what's your take on this?
Well, we all know Forrest Gump is my favorite movie of all time, so I'm definitely picking Gump, but... Obviously, this is my list. I love all the movies on the list, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But let's move on to the next list.
So, Gump is the top.
Gump is the top. All right, so who wants to go next?
Trump.
Raise your hand.
Let's do Justin.
Ooh, doing Justin.
Now, disclaimer. I didn't
you picked up a blank.
I blanked.
The wrong piece of paper.
The wrong envelope.
No, wait, to preface this list, I didn't want to think about this too much, because I knew it would rack my brain, so I picked... like 10 movies that I really enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying.
You mean your favorite movies of all time?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, go.
All right, so Justin's list.
I went first on this.
Well, no, but I just to read first. The entire list.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So Justin has Anchorman, Saving Private Ryan, Clue, Fargo, Fifth Element, Jurassic Park, Snatch, Superbad, Pulp Fiction, and again, Forrest Gump. So, the first movie voted off was Rob. He voted off The Fifth Element. Then, I voted off Fargo. Rob voted off Snatch. It killed me, but I voted off Clue. Rob voted off Anchorman, which I don't understand how he did. And then, Rob, I voted off, which again killed me, Jurassic Park. So, we are now left with Saving Private Ryan, Superbad, Pulp Fiction, Forrest Gump, Rob, pick a movie.
Easily Superbad. easily. Out of the movies that are left here, it's very, very... So obvious Superbad is the worst one out of these four. So I'm rolling this... Do I cross it out now?
Cross it out.
Give it a big X.
And this is going to be a very controversial pick right now on my part. Because I am voting off Gump.
What? Okay.
He's just mad about the last round.
No. We all know which one I'm not voting off. Saving Private Ryan or Forrest Gump. I just love me some Saving Private Ryan. I mean...
Wait, you mean Pulp Fiction?
Pulp Fiction is sacred.
Well, that's his favorite movie.
That's my favorite movie.
Spoiler alert.
I do like Forrest Gump.
It's not much of a secret.
Forrest Gump. I think I've said on the podcast 100 times that Pulp Fiction is my favorite movie.
101.
We've only had 21 podcasts.
I make it a point five times a podcast. Yeah. Actually, I don't know, man. That's tough. I don't know. It's hard.
I think he's strategically doing this because he knows if Gump is left, I'm obviously going to vote for Gump.
Oh, he's playing politics.
He's playing a little politics here. I'm telling you.
Well, yeah, but he'll have the final vote because it's going to be split then.
Yeah, but Gump wouldn't be there. He would vote for your move, for Pulp Fiction, because Gump wasn't even on his 10 when he first did it.
Well, I don't know. Let's not
get into it. Would I pick
for Let me think about this. If both are on TV on HBO... Not on...
No commercials?
Yeah. If they're both on TV, I'm picking Ryan.
Okay.
Picking Ryan.
That's your pick, then.
So I'm crossing out the Gump.
Gump's gone.
Gump is gone.
Again, Gump. I do like Forrest Gump.
Not the way this has been going.
And that leaves us with, you know what I'm picking, so...
I know you're picking...
Saving Private Ryan, or...
I'm going to pick Saving Private Ryan, because I recently watched...
Spiteful bastard.
Because I recently watched Pulp Fiction, because I wanted to rewatch the movie. I know this is Mike's favorite movie, and I know this was on both of your guys' lists. And I've watched it maybe a handful of times. I haven't watched it recently, probably in the last, 7 years, I probably haven't watched it. So I wanted to rewatch it really, really, get through it again. I watched it, and it's a fantastic movie, no doubt about it. But it honestly is not my favorite Quentin Tarantino movie. Honestly, it's not.
What's your top turn?
I love Inglourious Basterds. Right, it's still my favorite Tarantino movie. I would put Pulp Fiction definitely number 2, Reservoir Dogs number 3. It was both movies were on Vivenzio's list. But Saving Private Ryan, it's hard for me to vote for that over Pulp Fiction as well, because as much as I love Saving Private Ryan and as much as I love Tom Hanks, it's not my favorite war movie of all time, as you saw on my list. So it's tough for me to vote for that as well, but it was, honestly, not gonna lie, Saving Private Ryan might be my number 11 fit, you know, number ranked 11 on my favorite movie list. It was that hard for me to vote off Saving Private Ryan when I was doing this list.
Gotcha.
So I'm definitely picking Saving Private Ryan. It is an actual great war epic, and you can argue that that movie came out, what, 97? And there hasn't been a movie...
Nothing touches it. Yeah.
It hasn't been a war movie that touches it since then.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
No, you guys can say that. I personally like Hurt Locker better.
Okay.
But you have to agree, it's a different type of war movie. It's not an epic war movie.
Yeah,
This revolves around four people that this disables bombs. Like, it's not the World War II epic, that it is. But so there hasn't been a movie like that since, and it's been 20 years. Like that's in its own right remarkable. And you could say that Tarantino movies, they're similar in aspects. I'm not saying anyone has replicated Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction gets a huge rap because it was one of his first, Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, and it's amazing. But I would rather watch Saving Private Ryan every single day than Pulp Fiction.
I just read a really surprising statistic with Saving Private Ryan, where it was two things: where they let Matt Damon ad-lib that story that he tells about the barn.
No way, really.
Was just him just going off, and they kept it because Steven Spielberg felt that it was so boring and not entertaining.
right.
But that was the point. It was not supposed to be this great story. It's just him having this little moment.
About his brothers and everything. Yeah, that was
and
so good.
That they did another thing where every single person in the movie had to go through basic training, except for Matt Damon, because they wanted the actors to hate him for not being the one going through basic training.
This makes me like the movie even more.
I read
this
that.
This is amazing.
Like, that's awesome. Yeah. But all that aside, Pulp Fiction's perfection.
That's amazing.
I'm assuming that's all cute. When we get to my list, I'm going to talk about it more, so I'll stop there. Justin, split it
you
for
make
us.
It. Saving or Pulp?
I think based on the criteria of what you would rather watch if it were on, probably Pulp Fiction. Or, excuse me. Sorry.
Steve Harvey! He's Steve Harvey!
You just Steve Harvey this!
Saving Private Ryan.
Nope!
Is the.
Nope!
Sorry, Miss Columbia. You're out. I meant Saving Private Ryan. Yeah, no.
Fair enough.
It's epic. Tom Hanks. He was in two of the top three that we
discussed so far.
List.
You're right.
Yeah.
We're rolling with Tom Hanks. Like, all right.
Well, we're finding out is we all love Tom Hanks. Except for me.
Hate him. All right. Now we're going to do Vivenzio's list. So.
Right.
Okay. So Vivenzio's list, I'm gonna just list them right now. American Beauty, Big Lebowski, Boogie Nights, Dumb and Dumber, Fight Club, Goodfellas, Pulp Fiction, Seven, The Shining, and Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, I went out of baby seal.
I see that. Justin was first.
Counting?
Justin was first to vote, and he voted off Boogie Nights. I was second to vote, and I voted off Dumb and Dumber. Justin was next to vote off. He voted off American Beauty. I followed that pick with Big Lebowski, out of here. Justin then voted off Reservoir Dogs, and then I voted off Goodfellas.
Oh my God.
So now we're left with Fight Club, Pulp Fiction, Seven, and The Shining. Justin, you have to vote one off.
Man, one more.
And tell me why.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
I don't want to be in here for this.
it kind of hurts my heart to listen to you.
To listen to that.
Right. Yeah.
To hear someone pull up the terrible part of
this movie.
I'm gonna have to go with Fight Club, I think. And that's mostly just a reflection of the other movies.
That's okay. That was my
But I mean, it just... I mean, it's a really good movie. Don't get me wrong. It's just...
A reflection of how good the remaining movies
are. Yeah, like... Yeah, the other ones are just, to me, classics. Seven... In my head, I was going between Fight Club and Seven. But,
Fincher Boys.
Yeah, Brad Pitt.
You hate Brad Pitt, you hate David Fincher.
Morgan Freeman. No, I like Morgan Freeman. That's what it really comes down to.
Mine?
Yeah, go
honestly, I was going to vote off Fight Club next, so I'm happy Justin did. Pulp Fiction 7, and The Shining remain. Oh man, now Mike will be really mad if I roll up Pulp Fiction right now.
Dude, do what you will. My list is in your hands.
It's okay, so.
Literally.
Yeah, I recently watched Pulp Fiction, like I said. I recently watched The Shining again because I haven't watched that movie in a really long time as well. And 7 is one of my favorite movies. It is on my top 20 at least. Yeah. Rolling off the Pulp Fiction, sorry.
Wow.
I'm rolling off the Pulp Fiction. I don't think it's as good as Shining. And 7 is one of my favorite movies.
Yo, Calgary!
Yeah.
Yo,
Calgary! I don't even
care. Yo, Calgary! In his own room. That's terrible. Disrespect. It's.
Alright, so let's debate. There might not be a debate here.
Seven versus The Shining.
There might not be a debate here.
I feel like it's. They're, well, you do your thing.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go. My vote would be The Shining. I think it's a horror classic. I'm big into the psychological thrillers. And Jack Nicholson. So good in it. I just think it was. Yeah. And I'm not even a big fan of scary movies, but like that one.
It's funny because we're down to two somewhat horror movies.
Yeah, they're both horror. That's true. Well, I don't know. I feel like Seven's more of like a crime. I mean,
crime thriller slash horror.
Yeah,
it's vaguely horror. It's not exactly horror, but it could be because it's just a lot of gruesome. So you're picking Shining.
I'm picking The Shining.
So it's funny because based on my list, you know that. My favorite Fincher movie is Social Network, so therefore 7 definitely got pushed back. My favorite Kubrick movie is 2001, so that pushes back Shining a little bit. So it's interesting for me to vote one of them off right now.
You don't know Fincher or Kubrick.
Oh man,
I can't put it like that.
Put it like that. This is actually very, very difficult for me to pick, but I think because 7 cracked my top 20 and Shining did not. Oh. I'm gonna vote for 7. I just think 7.
Well, that's the first agreement we've had. At right at the top.
No, he picked Shining.
No, I picked.
Oh, you picked the show.
Never mind.
Sponsored by beer.
I'm picking 7 just because it's again. If it's on, if they're both movies are on, I'm gonna watch 7. I love The Shining though. I love everything about The Shining. Yeah. 7 is just I found it so fascinating. With the seven deadly sins, there's so many like themes in this movie. Watching Brad Pitt as the young, you know, whippersnapper cop with Morgan Freeman, the veteran about to retire, like there's so many cool things going on in this really dark film. There isn't like a scene where it's not raining. I mean, like they're so dark, and then like you can just say what's in the box, and everyone's gonna know what the fuck you're talking about. Like it is one of the classic, you know, like iconic scenes. I mean, Shining definitely has many iconic scenes as well, but for 7, it's more recent, and I think that's even it speaks volumes for it's being more recent, and I feel like it's just as iconic. Okay. I'm picking 7. Mike's going to pick which one he likes the best.
Well, you guys, it's funny.
He's like, Pulp Fiction!
I'm going through with Pulp Fiction!
You guys picked my 9 and 10.
Are you serious?
So, I'm gonna go with my 9, which was The Shining.
I love how we were crossing out the top. Funny. He goes, I saw someone cross out the top movie, and I'm like, judging you guys right now.
You mean like alphabetically top?
I mean, but you think about it, both movies. Feature two great actors. Well,
very similar.
But I'm focusing in on the villain. Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Amazing actor. Jack Nicholson. My favorite actor, Jack Nicholson. But both of them, great actors, probably playing their craziest characters to date.
Definitely.
The reason why I go with The Shining is it's shot brilliantly. And don't get me wrong, Fincher is amazing, but Kubrick. Really used the best actor in The Shining is the Overlook Hotel. Yeah. He used that hotel and he used it to the best capability that he could have. And honestly, I still to this day the only part of 7 that kills me is the what's in the box scene when Brad Pitt tries to cry because I guess he was really starting to get his acting chops. It's not convincing. Don't get me wrong, Shelley Duvall is probably one of the worst actresses of all time. Yeah, she's also, I read something about The Shining recently where Kubrick made her do the scene on the steps 110 times. And the very end, when she's crying, she was crying because he was screaming at her. And then she started crying, goes, "Roll it!"
Perfect!
Yeah.
Real tears.
But no, I mean, Jack Nicholson as Jack Torrance is
Watching him, like, go crazy.
It's fantastic.
It is awesome.
So I'll pick The Shining.
It's a great movie.
Though you guys made horrible decisions with my
kids. It is funny. Like, looking back at your list, I'm like, I kind of wish Goodfellas was back in there.
Can I tell you guys some statistics that I found out about our picks?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so I took our list, and I did some statistics. I want to tell you the average year of all of our favorite movies, okay?
Okay, okay.
So, Justin, based on your picks, your average year favorite movie was 1997. So
wow.
You picked movies from around, like, okay. You know, you had three movies in 2000 and over, and a lot
is
of 90s.
Is that, like, a weighted average, or is that, like, just an average?
Just a complete average. Yeah, it's 1996.8. So okay. I'm running out to 1997. Okay. Mm. Vivenzio's old school. His average...
I knew mine was going to be old.
...is 1994. he's real old school.
Okay.
And my average is 2002 and a half. So I like recent movies, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
Length of films that we love the most. Justin,
I know yours was the highest. God damn it, Rob. Making me watch them.
No, mine's
incorrect.
Yeah?
Vivenzio's the highest.
Yeah.
Justin, average rose at 122 minutes. That's 2 hours and 2 minutes. Mike, 131 minutes. Likes those long movies. And I wasn't too far behind, 128 and a half minutes. So that's not bad. As for rating, I did G1 and R4, and I averaged it out. Like a G was worth one, PG was worth two, PG-13 worth...
I thought you meant, like Rotten Tomatoes rating or something.
Oh, no, yeah.
Mine are rated R.
So.
I think my entire...
Everyone but one of them were rated R. The one that wasn't is actually Dumb and Dumber.
I know.
So you loved your R movies. Justin and I had more of a split. Justin had five R's and the rest were PG-13 and one PG Clue. And I had the one only G-rated movie in WALL-E, but I had actually six rated R movies and three PG-13. And yeah, and as for all the movies, we had the most dramas collectively. 17 of our movies were dramas collectively out of 30. The next biggest genre, what do you think it is that we thought, that we liked?
Well, do you have, like, science fiction on there, or...
Yes, I do have sci-fi on here.
Is it that?
That was not it.
Is
that
it,
was
it's,
fourth.
I, well, is it comedy? I feel
comedy
like...
was third. Second was crime. We like our crime movies.
My crime movies.
We liked our crime, but drama was 17, and the next was crime at 9. So,
That's like all of the movies.
Wait,
that's a big chunk.
Okay, so which one of all of our movies do you think had the most average of gross made domestically? Money made.
Oh, the highest grossing?
Just like collectively as a list of 10, each of us.
Oh.
Which one do you think had
mine definitely did.
Mike had two movies that were like under like 20 million.
Yeah, I know mine.
Oh, you mean, okay.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
I would say Justin's.
Yeah, Justin had 139 million as his average. His highest movie was
Jurassic Park.
Yeah, 400 over 400. Like I said, Mike had one movie that was at, you know, 2.8 million, which is obviously Reservoir Dogs. 64 million was your average.
Well, my second lowest is Boogie Nights, right?
Big Lebowski, actually.
Oh, wow, okay.
At 17 million. And my average was 129 million. And as for IMDb ranking...
What really matters?
Vivenzio actually had the most films out of all of our films that were on the IMDb top 250. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Dumb and Dumber is number two, right?
Obviously. Yeah. It's right there.
Dumb and Dumber.
It's right there with The Godfather. but okay, any Make discussion we want to have about our list?
Yes, let's talk about Mulholland Drive.
Okay,
what
please.
The fuck was I watching? Oh my god. I'm like, I can't even keep the characters straight. I'm just like, now to be fair, I was like putting together a thing and like doing some stuff around the apartment.
Oh, if you were paying 100% attention to
it, wouldn't have mattered.
You're lost.
It would not matter.
It's lost.
But I mean, you know, it's
I mean,
like,
if you're paying 110, you know what the hell's
it's
going
like,
on.
This thing happened, and then these two, and like I texted you guys, it was like, it was a good thing there were boobs in that movie because.
was. Otherwise, I would have turned it off a while ago. That said, very nice booth.
Good lesbian scene. One of the better ones.
It was great, but I mean, like, I'm like I said, I want to watch it again with you, who's, I guess, it was on your list. He's like, I'm not gonna lie.
I don't fully understand the movie, but that's like, that's okay in my opinion.
Right.
It's a movie that I'm immersed in what's happening, not even understanding it, but that's okay. Because I like open-ended movies. I like movies that confuse me. 2001 is one of the craziest freaking movie experiences ever. That's my favorite Kubrick movie. That's one of my favorite movies.
I've never seen that.
Not one of your top 10.
I've never seen 2001.
We're gonna watch
it. I'll watch it. Yeah, I'll definitely watch
that
it.
That and Tree of Life, Terrence Malick, is just like, it's just an insane. And I how I love Roger Ebert, and his one line review of like Mulholland Drive was like, that was a mind fuck. Like, he never curses in any review. But he was just like, Mulholland Drive is a legit mind fuck. I don't know what I just watched.
And like, granted, I just watched it today. I didn't have much time to digest, but I mean, like, I was just watching. I'm just like, this. Something's happening. I think
right.
There's a
See,
a
now, what I love about Mulholland Drive is that there's so many layers, and there's layers of things that you can kind of make sense, and the other half are layers that you have no idea what the hell they mean.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. It's
there are scenes that I'm just like, does this have anything to do with this
movie? I just love it because like, the more you watch it, the more you can kind of create your own theory about what's going on. And I feel like there's no wrong theory.
No, well, that's true. Like, I have my own theories about it, and if I talk to the next person, they're like, what are you talking about? Like,
right. Makes no sense. But I feel like that's cool, and I feel like there's enough of a story to grab your attention. There's enough elements like boobies to grab your attention and be like, okay, there's something going on here.
Right.
But there's certainly a fantastical element about it. There's this mystery, whether it's a murder mystery, whether it's just like a Nancy Drew type of playing, you know, cop mystery. But it's just like, it's fascinating to me. I love the film.
Okay.
Like I said, it's the only film I've ever finished watching one night, and I said I have to watch this movie the next day, and I did. Like, the only film I've ever done that to.
See, my only thing is, so Mike was like, yeah, you'll enjoy it by like the fifth time you watch it. And that's like,
you don't
like,
want to go through
that's
that.
Like 15 hours.
Yeah, for it's a long movie too.
Like, I'm like,
it is a long
big
movie.
Investment for me to start liking something.
That's true.
I mean, I give it another go, but I want to be able to pause it,
let's watch it. Yeah, Ebert, when he was alive, he had this annual seminar where they would pick a movie and literally freeze frame every frame of a movie and talked about it. And Mulholland Drive was one of them.
I would do scene.
It might have been scene. You're right. It might have been scene. Every scene, and like Mulholland Drive was definitely one of them, and it was just a perfect thing to do it about.
Mulholland Drive took me 10 years to watch because the first time I saw it, and that guy popped down the parking lot, I was terrified,
I didn't watch it again
for 10 years until Rob said, "That's a great movie. You gotta watch it."
I like the scene where he killed the one guy, but then he shot the woman through the wall,
yeah.
And then he had to kill the vacuuming guy. I'm just like, what's happening?
That's where like you threw some comedy in there and just, like, some like goofball actions, and how is this related, right?
Right. And I still don't know who any of those characters were. So yeah.
I mean, we'll watch it again.
Yeah,
we might podcast that.
Let's put it this way. Yeah, I respect your movie expertise enough to give it the benefit of the doubt, but I need to watch it.
Of course. You know, we'll definitely do it. Any other movies we want to talk about?
I can't believe Justin voted off American Beauty.
Yeah, he voted off my American Beauty so early.
It's been a while since I watched it.
Maybe
and I
that's
think,
what it is.
I think I said, I'm not sure if I said it, but I at least was thinking, it's like, I really wish I had seen this movie more recently, because
I'll let you borrow it. It's...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how long, has it been since it came out that you've seen the movie? Like, when you were, like, 13, 14 years old?
Yes.
You were right. You're going to watch
I'm sorry. I mean, I thought you were asking, have I seen it since it came out? And I'm like, yes, I didn't see it before it came out. I'm like, yeah, it's been since I've...
Is it Eric? So it's been since then, yeah.
No.
No, it hasn't.
It's been a while. I didn't see it when it first came out, but that's not what I thought you were asking. So anyway, but it's...
You gotta rewatch. It's really good.
I'll borrow.
Really good.
American Beauty is a fantastic...
It was my four. It was my fourth. Right.
But again, like, you know, I can kind of see your list... and I could kind of like get a feel about what kind of movies you could like. You don't have too many family dramas here. I mean, I'm sorry, you might family not like drama, that. You yeah. might just not I like mean, that style.
I don't think
you know?
I've watched too many of them, so. You know, I might.
But it's still
this
great.
This is a very fun-loving family drama, even though, you know, people die at the end. And
the ending is awesome, yeah. though. I mean, it's a great film. Mike, I know you have a little beef with Pulp Fiction.
Wow.
Guys, Pulp Fiction...
He's like, let me school you something.
Listen... Pulp Fiction is the only non-sad movie to make me cry. Every time I watch the ending of Pulp Fiction, I cry because I feel like I'm watching cinematic perfection. And the fact... I mean, it
I did
late.
Not shed a tear during Pulp Fiction, not gonna lie.
Dude, the very end,
did not.
Jules gives his monologue at the very end at the table, I cry every time.
Oh, okay.
And if you think I'm over-exaggerating, I showed Taylor the movie for the first time, and I wept. And she looked at me, she's like, what are you crying about right now? And I was like, I'm so overcome with emotion every time he gives this.
So here's my question monologue. For you. What do you think's in the briefcase?
Yes, tell me.
The briefcase, everyone, there's a lot of theories. People say it's just heroin. People
Which
say
one
it's
do you
money.
Like the best?
I have the very abstract theory. That it's Marcellus Wallace's soul.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
And I love thinking it's that. And I'm going to go with that. It's his soul.
I liked how they did that throughout the movie. That's probably one of my favorite parts about the movie. Is just the whole freaking briefcase thing.
Yeah.
How it's kind of like that MacGuffin where like it kind of matters, but it doesn't really matter.
Oh, but it matters.
But it matters.
It matters.
But like it doesn't, it's not really, you know, it matters, but it's kind of just like lying there, not really a huge element about what's going on.
I wish more people shared this movie as my favorite movie because I quote it every day, like literally every day, and no one gets what the hell I'm talking about ever when I do. But I think, you know, I love Tarantino. You know, back to Justin News, News with Justin.
This Justin.
Whatever it
Justin
is.
Justin News.
Well, it kills me that he announced that he's only doing two more movies than he's done. I love Tarantino. I think he's brilliant. He's my favorite director ever. I don't think anyone's going to ever touch it. And Pulp Fiction is his masterpiece. It's just, acting is great. The storylines are great. The way that they all intertwine, it's amazing. Everything about it's amazing.
I personally want to rewatch Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, you should.
I remember there was a time when I liked Reservoir Dogs better than Pulp Fiction.
Oh.
Because I love that minimalistic factor about movies.
Inglourious Basterds is my sixth favorite Tarantino
movie. I love that movie so much.
And I love Inglourious Basterds, but yeah, it just happens to be my sixth.
I just, like, there's so many good things about Inglourious Basterds. I feel like it's the only Tarantino film I'm actually happy watching. I don't know if that's weird to say. I feel like it's the only Tarantino film I'm happy watching.
The music's
cool, but like I don't know if the music can make a movie or not.
It's not gonna.
Oh, talk to Martin Scorsese and see what he says about that.
I'm honestly not the biggest Scorsese
and
fan.
Wait, who?
Goodfellas.
Yeah, Goodfellas. Rob.
I'm just like I don't. I mean,
yeah,
again, I'm not the.
Gone, I'm, like,
I'm not the biggest Scorsese
seven,
fan. not the biggest Scorsese fan. I think he's great, and I think he's a mastermind, and he's brilliant what he does. I'm just personally not the biggest fan in his work. I understand it's great, though.
I'm pretty sure you like it. What were your impressions of, Rob, of the Fifth Element?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Fifth Element.
So
oh,
good.
My.
Wait, was that your first time seeing it?
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like...
And that's the first one voted off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris Tucker was probably the best part about the movie. But
I understand that.
I can understand it's a movie.
Acclaimed movie.
If I watched it when I was younger for the first time, right now I would be talking about it like I'm talking about Hook. You know, I would be like, I love this movie.
Right,
this movie's awesome type of thing.
Yeah.
I just feel like watching it now in like my perspective now.
Yeah,
I'm just
like, what is this?
Come on.
I'm sure a lot of the visuals.
The visuals hurt it. But I don't mind
yet.
That. I don't mind bad visuals. I understand the time and everything like that. I just feel like everything else was okay.
Okay.
I'm not saying it was a bad movie. I thought it was very enjoyable. I loved the whole element about it, trying to get like the fifth element, the four elements. It was really, really cool. I, you know, Bruce Willis and everything was good about the movie. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I'm just saying, out of your list, I thought it was the weakest
one. I figured that was probably not long for
it.
It did kill me to cross off Clue.
That's one of those ones that, like... I feel like you either really like it or it's...
I love Clue, but I don't like it as much as other people do. I don't understand the big hype about Clue. I like it a lot.
I love Tim Curry.
Yeah, I feel like without Tim Curry, that movie wouldn't have been the same.
No.
I just love how there's, like, two alternate endings in the movie.
Oh, yeah. that's
it's like, cool. Oh, and it's, happened. Like, embedded in the actual movie. Yeah, that's what makes it cool like about it. But I think it's a little bit salty for me, because I hate the board game Clue. I will never play that game with anyone for the rest of my life.
I hate that game.
I loathe that game with every single being and fiber of my soul. Wow. I will never play that game. And I know you own that game, and I'm mad at you about that.
I hate Clue.
The game is so stupid. The game is the dumbest game I've ever played in my life. I'd rather play like Trouble or something like that.
This is why you didn't pick up on a lot of the clues in the night of. You're not a good detective.
Yeah, because that's what.
Didn't you see that wrench in the bathroom? No. Clue, they don't play.
Don't even get me started on Clue, man. Clue is such a bad game. But yeah.
What else do we have
up here?
I mean, I can understand why you guys took Dumb and Dumber off first. Out of all the great critically acclaimed movies on my list, it's the turd of the bunch.
Do you want to talk about that? Okay, let's talk about it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hurt Locker. Wait, so, I mean, I just watched it today for the first time. I enjoyed it. But, I mean, top 10. Like, why?
Personally, I think it's my favorite war movie of all time.
Okay.
And that's saying a lot. Personally, I just think it's... Because I feel like any classic war movies, you can think about, it's going to revolve around one of the biggest wars in our history and everything like that. And it's going to be somewhat of an epic. It's going to have a lot of, like, you know, combat or, you know... Obviously, what makes a great war movie, in my opinion, is having the trauma with... The personalities that are going through the characters that are going through that war. I feel like you have to have that trauma element. Just having you in the combat, just having you out there in the jungle or whatever, fighting away, that's fine. Any movie could do that, but actually developing characters and experiencing their trauma that they're going through is a major element. And I feel like I'm not sure if there's a movie that, like Hurt Locker, that does that. And I feel like Hurt Locker is so... If you consider all the war movies before Hurt Locker, they're kind of they could get bulked into one war movie genre. Hurt Locker deals with this recent war. It's the only movie now that doesn't deal with past wars. It's actually wars that we're dealing with now.
American Sniper,
Black Hawk Down.
No. First of all, American Sniper wasn't that good. I don't know if you liked it.
I'm not saying it's not that good, but I'm just saying that fact that you just said it's one of the only recent war movies.
I watched it. I don't think it was that good. I don't like it,
but I don't like it for different reasons.
I think it's way too Hollywood. Honestly, it's.
I was just disputing the fact that you said it's the only.
You're right. Okay, I mean normal. Only. Good, I feel quality.
good movie.
I feel like quality movie. You know,
I don't think it was
American Sniper made a lot of money because of what it stood for and everything like that. I get it because it was a real life story. I get it.
No,
but Hurt Locker, I'm just like, think about every single movie, action movie. Think about every single television show. It revolves around a climax of a bomb possibly going off. Almost every other scene in Hurt Locker dealt with that, and every single scene I was on the edge of my seat.
Here's my thing. It was Jeremy Renner. I knew he wasn't going to...
Special guest...
Alex Pippi!
Pips in the house!
Pippi! Still recording?
Yes, we are.
Continue. And,
well, you can take part.
I don't have many opinions.
What were you going to say, Justin?
No, my only thing is I knew it wasn't good because Jeremy Renner, it was the bomb tech. So I knew he wasn't going to die. So I was like, okay, I know the bomb's not going to blow up in his face. So.
Okay. I honestly... Didn't even know Jeremy Renner was in the movie when I saw it.
But as soon as I saw that, oh, Jeremy Renner's in this? He's not gonna die. Like, he's the main dude. So, like,
he's Hawkeye.
Yeah. I like how they combine those characters. They reunited for the Marvel movies. But, yeah, so I knew it was like, somebody else might die.
I thought he might have blown up. Because I don't think it's based on a true story. So, like, I figured, like, they could just kill him off and not have it matter.
No, my thing was that he's, like, the main character. He's Jeremy Renner. He's one of the big time actors.
But you don't see him until like half hour in, right?
No, he comes to replace the guy who dies in the beginning.
Oh, that is pretty early on. That scene was intense, though.
Yeah. Oh, the first scene?
That scene's intense. Did you think he was gonna die?
Oh, in the first scene?
Who, Guy Pearce, right?
No.
Nah.
That was a little bit later on. That was literally the first scene.
Yeah, the first scene with the phone bomb, right? The phone bomb goes off.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And he still has a suit, but he dies in the suit, right? Yeah. That's so intense.
And then they ballooned up the colonel. Oh, that was bad. Like, just move along.
That's so messed up. I just think it's a different type of warfare that no movie has addressed yet.
I say American Sniper did. And they did it in a very similar way. And I know you don't like it.
Definitely not a similar way. There's no bombs in American Sniper. It's all about snipers.
No. Okay. I mean, the whole different type of war than World War II. World War I, that kind of thing. That's all I mean.
Okay. No, I get you. It's more modern war. I just feel like Hurt Locker dealt with the idea that war is a drug a lot better than American Sniper did. And it is very tragic what happened with the character, you know, the main guy in American Sniper.
Yeah.
And, you know, how he died at, you know, the
Bradley Cooper didn't win the Oscar.
Bradley Cooper? I'm not gonna lie, I hate Bradley Cooper, but...
Dude, Silver Linings Playbook! Are you crazy?
How dare you?
I like him in that. I like him in that, and I like him in... I actually like him in American
Wedding
Sniper.
Wedding Crashers. Oh.
I do like that movie.
Arf, this is my favorite scene of a fucking movie. Arf. Alright, so do we have anything else?
I have two questions. One for you, one for you.
I will answer Justin's question.
Why did you pick Boogie Nights? Why did Justin pick Boogie Nights?
Oh, easily.
I didn't see it.
I
felt really bad about it.
I knew it.
But, like, I didn't see it, so I was like, how can I promote that one over all those other
movies? No, he did. Remember, he was just like, I wanted to watch it, but it wasn't on Netflix anymore. It got pulled. Because I watched it 2 weeks ago.
I was so pissed. Oh, you watched it 2 weeks ago?
On Netflix. Yeah.
That's why I thought I saw it. And then
I was like, wait, what do you mean? I just watched it, but then you're like, it's not there. And I was just like, oh, damn.
We're watching Boogie Nights.
No, I really want to.
Why Lebowski?
Because my opinion, give me your list. My thing is that, for my list at least, I only wanted to list my favorite movie of every director. And
it's Lebowski, obviously not your favorite Coen
Brothers. It's definitely not my favorite Coen Brothers movie, so I can't say it was up there. And then, you know, I mean, I picked it over Dumb and Dumber. I mean, like, you should be happy about that. I like Big Lebowski.
I knew Dumb and Dumber was going to be the first or the second movie eliminated. I knew that.
I was surprised.
If it came down to the four and it was Dumb and Dumber, I would have walked out of the room.
But you said we voted your 9 and 10. We left your 9 and 10, you say. Where was Dumb and Dumber?
But Dumb and Dumber is my fourth. It's my fourth. I love Dumb and Dumber, but out of the bunch, Dumb and Dumber. I mean, it's not the best movie.
I'm just saying, Lebowski is not my favorite Coen Brother movie.
Yeah, I might have picked
Lebowski.
But
do you like Lebowski?
I like Lebowski. I would still put that at the end of that list, like towards the bottom three of that list, though.
I would have picked it, over like my number four and Reservoir Dogs. That would have been gone sooner, anyway. So,
all right, I
like it.
Just had to know.
I like it. I think it's a little bit more style than essence.
John Goodman's in that movie. Walter Sobchak is my second favorite fictional character ever.
You're out of your element. I'm
he's
so glad
only,
I watched that. Oh
he's only behind George Costanza.
favorite fictional character
ever. Yes.
Is that our next bracket?
Yeah, favorite fictional character.
It's gonna be 256.
That'd be so.
That will take months to finish. All right, are we done here? We might be
I
done.
I think we're done.
I think that's a perfect amount of time to finish it at.
What are we at?
Do we want to touch briefly on some of the shows we're seeing soon?
Well, coming up, me and Justin are going to the first ever Panorama Festival.
Should be ballin'.
We're going to be ballin'. We're only going one day.
Yeah.
But we're going to see LCD Sound System. We're seeing Run the Jewels. I'm kind of looking forward to ASAP Rocky. I want to see Nathaniel Radcliffe and the Night Sweats. I forget his name. They're a good band, though. And Kurt Vile. They're playing Sia, who I know nothing about, is
Sia,
playing.
She's actually pretty good.
Her stuff. The problem is,
she's solid.
I'm a Sia.
No, I think she actually interferes with somebody though. There's.
She's right before LCD.
Right before LCD.
Yeah.
So you're gonna see someone.
I might have to see her.
Gonna see her like
a little
probably
bit.
Best two songs in the final.
I'm a Sia.
Yeah, we'll
But we have that coming up. I have Radiohead in the 2 days after, so I'll let you guys know how the Radiohead concert is.
But you weren't able to make Brand New at MSG.
Oh, don't bring this up.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the story. I wanted to wait for it.
Brand New and Modest Mouse played a show last Thursday. For the listener out there that doesn't know this, those are, if I had to pick my top five current bands, Brand New and Modest Mouse would probably both wind up in the top three. I think so only good. Radiohead, who I'm seeing on Tuesday, would trump either of them. And it kills me, but I couldn't go see it. My girlfriend said it was amazing. She still went to go see it. I still, it's 5 days later, on Facebook every day, see a review pop up just saying, best Brand New performance ever, and I want to take my phone and throw it against the wall and break it.
Don't worry. They didn't play Daisy. It wasn't that good. But they played Tattoo.
That's what I looked at. If I looked at and they played Daisy, I would have killed myself. No, literally, would have kicked the air conditioner out this window and dove.
Honestly, that's the only thing I looked at. Because I'm just like, if they play Daisy, I'm going to be so mad
at them. They did play Noro, though, and they don't play that.
They play Noro, they play Tattoo, that's cool, but I mean.
They did, you will know, into Tattoo.
That's fine, whatever.
But either way.
We've seen them enough.
If we didn't see them last year two times, I'd be a little bit more upset about it. But no, I have those two looking forward to. Me and Justin are going to see Prophets of Rage. That's later in the summer.
PNC, right?
At PNC. Yeah. They just announced the Oddball Comedy Tour today. I'm very happy with the lineup.
Who's headlining?
Oh, yeah. John Oliver.
The one we're going to is John Oliver and Sebastian Maniscalco, who, again, back to what we're watching, my father introduced me to him. And my dad is not really the comedy aficionado.
What are you trying to say?
He doesn't find funny things funny, and he likes stupid things. But, because it's my dad. Like just what he's into. Yeah, like Donald Trump. My dad's voting for Trump. But I watched Sebastian Maniscalco with him, and I thought it was funny. I saw a stand-up bit two nights ago. He is pretty hilarious. Look him up. He's a really funny guy. I mean, this might exclude both of you, but he touches on a lot of Italian humor, which Justino William Mazzano and Roberto Angeli over here.
It's a real Gabon.
Yeah, real Gabon.
That's a thing.
That means
that's
you, a eat, bad a thing. You oh. eat a lot.
I'm a Gabon then.
I grew up in Lyndhurst. We freaking flag an Italian flag in the town hall park. I could get a little bit of it.
He's funny.
Get down.
But him, John Oliver, Jeff Ross, and someone else is playing.
Okay, that's
decent.
Solid. You go to it every year, though, right?
Every year.
You should go to PNC, though. This will be.
We've gone every year.
This isn't PNC?
Yeah. We're going to the Camden.
Because I want to go.
Because John Oliver's not playing at PNC, he's playing at Camden. So we're going to go to the Camden. And I think besides that, I'm seeing Coheed.
I hate that drive.
I'm seeing Coheed.
Oh, you're going to that show?
I'm going to Coheed Saves the Day.
Nice. Yes. When is that?
That's like in October. Right. That'll be like 10 podcasts from now.
Solid.
I was looking up those Radiohead tickets. $200.
It's absurd.
I thought it was $100. I was thinking about it at $100.
If you bought it, you know, on the ground floor when the first came out.
Are you on the floor?
I don't know. I think so. I'm hoping for $100.
Are you behind the stage that you didn't know before?
I'll kill Joe. No, I'll still enjoy it, but I'll
do it. I'll take it if you don't want to go.
I recently saw Coldplay at MetLife Stadium. I saw them the first night. Like I was telling these guys, I'm not the biggest Coldplay fan, but they do have a good amount of hits that anyone will know what they're playing. And again, I'm not the biggest fan, but it was probably one of the most enjoyable concert experiences I've ever been to. It was just a good time. I'm not gonna lie, like, I probably had the most fun ever at a concert the first time I saw Girl Talk.
Oh, I bet.
Then the second most enjoyable experience is this Coldplay show. Like, I've never danced more to the music.
The pictures and videos.
The videos. Oh. I just love the whole bracelet. And I knew exactly what they were doing with the bracelets, because I've seen live videos of them, and I know they give them out, and they sync up to every single song that they play. Yeah. And it's just like the entire audience involved with the show. There's fireworks nonstop. This was probably the most expensive production of any show I've ever seen in my life. And that
I saw a lot of colors and balloons.
That has a lot of, I'm not gonna lie, that has a lot to do with a show experience, you know, because you can see a band and they could be, I mean, obviously production doesn't affect how great a band is or their quality, but it does affect the experience.
Yeah, no, from what I saw, it looked like a full-time Super Bowl performance. Halftime yeah, performance.
That's true.
Like, it looked like the whole thing was just
that's
one
big halftime. That's a good way to describe it, yeah.
That much fanfare. I was just felt, like, that's incredible.
It was that. Yeah, so absolutely great show. I would see him again. I'm seeing Bruce in August.
Oh, I wanted to go
I got my
that.
Florida tickets. Yeah. I'm so freaking pumped for that. And it's the River Tour. I didn't even realize it was the River Tour. He's playing, like, most of the River album. I'm so pumped for that. And I'm seeing with my fiance, Adele. So, I don't know. I told her, I'm like, what if we could sell these tickets for, like, $500 a pop? She's like, you better not sell these
Adele
tickets.
Adele them. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Rhymed.
What,
it rhymed.
I'm not
sell,
sure where you were going with that.
I should have said a sell them. I don't know. I'll practice for next week, listeners.
Rumor has it you'll be roaming, rolling in the deep.
We're too drunk right now. we got to a level where we're drunk.
We're like an hour and a half. Yeah.
All right, we're done. Goodbye.
Bye. Say bye, Heaven.
Bye.
Bye, Heaven.